Basketball Appointment Show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is on the air tonight as the Bucks look to make it. Five straight wins? Four straight. No, you don't go down. Six straight wins in Boston against the Celtics. We talked about this after the game last night. It's early in the regular season, and it's just the regular season, but this is a big litmus test for the Bucks, just to see where are we currently at. Like, this is not the finished product. They have clearly been playing much better of late, but we're still not where we hope to be. As we've heard Adrian Griffin say, hey, we're building something special here, you can tell, and it's a matter of time. The Boston Celtics, as we kind of talked about going into the season on that season preview show, they had fewer changes. And look, big changes when you bring in Kristaps Porzingis and, of course, Drew Holiday, but their core remained the same. And I understand the Bucks' core is largely the same as well, with Giannis and Chris and Brooke, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton. Your head coach is different, and a guy that's going to be a part of the core for the next, what, three-plus years, who is an all-NBA player, who averaged more than 30 points a game a season ago, and who would be the number one option on just about every other team in the league, he is new to your team. So that's all the change the Bucks have been going through. And when we say, well, both teams, you know, kind of remaking things on the fly, but the Bucks had more changes to work through than the Boston Celtics. That's why. Joe Mazzulla's in his second year as head coach. We saw how it was kind of up and down at times last year for the Celtics, and we've seen the same early on for the Bucks. But the Bucks are in a much better spot right now than they were 10 days, 2 weeks ago, when you first started to look ahead and forecast this schedule and then, you know, not let Thanksgiving sneak up on you and say, hey, the day before Thanksgiving, we have the Boston Celtics, and that team is looking pretty good right now. We better be in a much better spot by the time that game rolls around, and the Bucks are. So I'm going to be curious to see, number one, how do the Celtics choose to defend Giannis? Because we talked about it last night, Tommy. Part of me wonders, is it going to be Drew Holiday that's defending Giannis in this game?
I think that would make sense. I mean, he's definitely going to be their best defender up at the top at the perimeter, but and then they'll have Kristaps to be able to help down low regardless.
And then also, speaking of Drew Holiday, it's going to be a strange game, weird emotions for Bucks players. Jim Ozarski of the Journal Sentinel had the story out earlier today where he talked with a handful of Bucks players about, hey, you guys are going to be playing Drew Holiday. What's that going to be like? And just the weird emotions that are going to be there.
Do you think there's going to be any bitterness on either side?
Why would the Bucks be bitter?
Well, I mean, people, I understand, you know, on our side, we get Damian Lillard in return pretty much for it, but still, like, you don't think there's a couple of teammates maybe that could be anything?
I don't think so. I think it'll just be a Bobby Portis in that story that Jim Ozarski has talked about it a little bit of, yeah, it's going to be strange. You know, like, we miss the guy. You heard what Giannis said after the trade, too, that he's my brother, essentially, for life. And I wish he was here with me, but he's not. So, you know, you move on. It's a bummer, but we still have that relationship. And that's basically everybody that played with Drew Holiday here in Milwaukee. The weird part is going to be for Drew Holiday, who has that relationship with all those guys. Those guys did not trade him and now has to look across the sidelines and see the Bucks' new girlfriend and see, okay, so that's who you think was more attractive than I am. I think you're going to see a very motivated Drew Holiday tomorrow, and I wouldn't be surprised if there is bitterness on his end towards the front office for, you know, look, you went out of your way to trade for me in the fall of 2020, and you don't win a title without me, and now you just move on.
And we're still paying draft capital for his trade, aren't we? Isn't next year still get a pick towards
what you just said? You can get used to saying that for the next 6 or 7 years.
Fair enough.
So we'll take a closer look at that matchup with the Boston Celtics tomorrow, because Celtics have been interesting of late, and especially last night, not a good loss that they suffered to the Charlotte Hornets. But speaking of that trade, speaking of Damian Lillard, the newest member of the Bucks, or one of the newest members of the Bucks, and the intrigue around that matchup, Damian Lillard sat down with Gale Klappa. That is your guest for this week's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You will hear that interview next on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead! It's Dame time!
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager John Horst,
by far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. We take you back, September 27. In the early afternoon hours, news breaks of a blockbuster trade, and the tremors have been felt across the NBA ever since. The Bucks, of course, landed Damian Lillard. Now on the same court, Dame and Giannis, two of the best players of all time, and both still in their prime. The move doesn't guarantee a title. It doesn't put a lock on the Larry O'Brien trophy, but the odds sure have swung in our direction. On Courtside tonight, it's Dame time. Our guest, Buck star Damian Lillard. Damian, great to visit with you. Thanks for joining us here on Courtside.
I appreciate y'all having me there.
Well, Dame, the Bucks have reeled off 5 wins in a row now, and it looks like the offense may be beginning to really gel. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's definitely trending in the right direction. I think to start the season, you know, people wanted things to click right away, but I don't think anything great or special happens overnight. You know, we knew it was going to take time, and we knew that it would be a process, and it still is. You know, we haven't quite reach the level of comfort and the level of execution that we want or that we'll need to accomplish what we want to accomplish. But we're moving in the right direction, and I think it's starting to show in these games.
Well, Dame, the Bucks defense still looks like a real work in progress. And I noticed with a wry smile, Coach Griffin said after the Monday night game that there wasn't much to like about our defensive performance that night. In your mind, what's the biggest area to focus on for improvement?
I think it's a few things. I think, you know, a lot of people don't know, early in the NBA season is just, you know, everybody's optimistic, everybody's fresh, everybody's, you know, coming out trying to show the latest version of themselves. So it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to start seasons. And I think us having a new coach, an entirely new system, and, you know, a lot of guys on our team have been used to doing things a certain way, and now you come in and you change it. Obviously, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody to get used to the terms, to get used to the rotations, and to understand the purpose of what we do. And right now, I think we have some miscommunications. I think there's been some misunderstandings of, you know, some of our coverages in real time, like in the game as it's happening or when it's happening fast. And that's also something that we're starting to understand better, you know, than we did in the beginning. And even though it might not be perfect or it might not be to the level we want, we're starting to have more positive moments than we were having before, and we just got to keep building on it.
And Dame, now that Chris Middleton is playing more minutes coming off knee surgery this past summer, I know the defensive stats have improved when the three of you, when Dame, Giannis, and Chris are on the court.
I think part of that is just experience. You know, I think the three of us, we've had a lot of minutes on the floor. And being a good defensive team in this league is not one person, it's not two people, it's not three people, it's all five. And that's communication. It's the desire, you know, having pride and wanting to stop the other team, but also understanding. You know, knowing the terms around the league, knowing what guys like to do, knowing even to the point where you know what certain coaches like to do. Those things give you a chance to be a good defensive team. And I think with all three of us out there, because of our experience and our knowledge of how the game is played, who players are, and just how teams play in this league, it'll make you better on that end of the floor. So the more time we can get out there together, the more we can learn each other and the better we can get our communication down, the better we'll be.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Damon. And switching gears a bit, you have built a very well-deserved reputation as one of the most prolific shooters of all time. But I know, Dame, you place a lot of importance on being a great playmaker as well, particularly with all the talent on this Bucks team. Chat about that, if you will.
Yeah. I just think it's a – I think playmaking is an underrated skill of mine because I've been known to score so much in my career. But I feel like I've always been a really good playmaker. When growing up, my dad was always on me about playing unselfishly, making the right play. You know, you're not always going to get an assist for that. You're not always going to get credit for that. But I think the way that I play the game, I think it creates good offense. You know, even if I'm not getting a basket or assist, I just know how to generate offense by playing the right way. And it makes even more sense. And I think it'll be highlighted more on this team, like you said, because we got so many good players and what was required of me offensively in Portland won't be required of me here. So the opportunity to just generate offense and get to certain spots and maybe get a hockey assist or get into the paint and you know, find guys in the spots where they can be most successful. I think I'll be presented with a lot more of those opportunities where we can actually be successful as opposed to me always having to, you know, score 35 or score 40 points.
Dame, you mentioned that what's required of you here may be quite a bit different than what was required of you in Portland. How do you feel about that?
I'm embracing it fully, you know. I think coming here, you know, you're playing with the best player in the league. You know, he's the horse for our team. You know, he's dominant. He's going to do some of everything. He's going to do it with a lot of energy and a lot of aggressiveness and attacking. And obviously I don't want to come and just not be myself or not bring to the table what I know I can bring to the table because, you know, I want to assist him. You know, I want to compliment him and still be dominant as well. But I just know that it's not needed. You know, I had to have a lot of extraordinary performances for us to have a chance at times. And I know that that part is not necessary here. You know, I just need to be myself. And I know that that's good enough. I don't have to always go above and beyond. And that's part of being on a good team. So, you know, the stage in my career that I'm in, you know, I'm in my prime, but I think I've reached a stage of maturity and, you know, just understanding what it takes to win, you know, and putting that number one, especially when I have a great opportunity to do so here. You know, it's important to embrace that and to be constantly finding ways to contribute to winning. And now that I know that that's what the expectation is and I know I don't have to have a 50-point, 60-point, 70-point game. You know, there's no need to focus on that or to not embrace, you know, what's needed for me to just win.
We'll have more with Dame in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gail and Bucks guard Damian Lillard.
Dame, after 11 seasons in Portland, you find yourself in a new city, as you mentioned, a new coach, a new system, and new teammates. What part of the move to the Bucks has been the most challenging for you?
I would say just being in a situation that's just not familiar. You know, even when I got drafted to Portland, I was a one-hour flight from Oakland. You know, family could come visit easily. I was on in the same time zone. You know, two of my best friends was in college in Portland. A lot of my family moved up to Portland my rookie year. I had, you know, 7-8 family members right there, a lot of support. I had friends there. So it was just a comfortable situation to come into. And then being there 11 years, you know, I basically built my entire adulthood there. So just having to leave that behind, you know, and never even living outside of the West Coast to moving into the Midwest and joining a new organization this late into my career. You know, it's just been different. You know, it hasn't been a familiar thing. And also playing on with new players and having a new coaching staff and just a completely new environment, you know, it's just been tough. And also living away from my kids, you know, they're the center of my life.
Right.
So just being away from my kids when I'm used to seeing them every day and being around them and being able to hug them and kiss them and put them to bed and being around them when they wake up from their naps and stuff like that. You don't realize how much of a luxury it is to have those simple things and be able to do those things until, you know, you're in this type of situation where it's taken away from you. So I think those things are probably the hardest part about it.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, Dame, you've been just warmly welcomed here. Tell us your reaction when you landed in Milwaukee and I think 5,000 people showed up at the Deer District.
I mean, I was shocked. On my way here, everybody was telling me that it was like a rally and all that stuff. And I thought it was just a rally for the start of the season. You know, I thought it was just something that they did. You know, it was almost training camp. Everybody's excited. Just made a big trade. And then when I got there, it was like, this was for me. Like, I got there and they was like, you know, this was for you. And I was like, man, is this what happens when, you know, when dudes get traded? And, you know, it was my first time getting traded, so I didn't really know that it was for me. And then I walked in the arena and they had the video played, and it was just so much love and support, you know, and to be embraced like that in a new situation is extremely warm, and it's a great feeling, you know, when you're walking into a new situation to know, you know, how much people are excited to have you and how welcomed you are to that new environment. So it was a special welcoming, and it played a major role in me feeling like, okay, you know, well, let's do it then.
Amen. So, Dame, I know you're getting used to your new circumstances, getting used to your new teammates, but I saw an advanced analytic just this morning that basically said, so far this season, you lead the league in clutch points. That's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to what the truth is, you know. I think over the course of my career, you know, I've developed a reputation for being able to finish and close games. And just like anybody else, I've had a lot of moments where I came up short. You know, I missed a shot, or I might have missed a free throw, or just made a wrong decision on a play or whatever. You know, we all have our moments where we come up short. But I think I've proven that I'm one of the more successful players at finishing out and closing out games. And I think a big part of that is because I don't fear the outcome of them, you know, whether that's winning or losing. I trust what I put into the game, and I believe in myself. So, you know, I know that that's part of why I was brought here, is to, you know, be able to finish out games and to be that guy in those moments. So we've had enough of those moments for me to be leading the league, because we've been in some close ones. So I'm just happy that I've been able to, so far this season, you know, show my value in that time of the game.
And that's why they call it Dame time. So Dame, in your short time in a Bucks uniform, I'm sure you've been part of a few wow moments with Giannis. How about sharing one of those moments where you step back and you say, "I'm not sure my eyes are deceiving me here."
I think I've seen him play enough to where, you know, I've seen it. I've seen how he plays and what he gets done, but to see it up close sometimes is just like, man, you know, to see a dude that big and to have that type of length and speed and, you know, how he can move side to side and finish through contact, you know, he's just a beast. And, you know, when you're on the court with him is, you know, certain plays where it's like, man, there's no way he's going to get to the basket on that one. And then he end up on the rim, you know. So, you know, it's special to watch, you know, and I think with him you get a seat to where God-given gifts meet hard work and, you know, a strong mentality.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. It really is. And we'll be back in a moment. More with Dame on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks guard Damian Lillard.
Dame, you played with Pat Connaughton for, I believe, two seasons in Portland. How about compare Pat's skill set then to the player you see in action today? And wasn't he part of luring you here to Milwaukee?
It's funny because he was real similar. I think now he just understands he understands how to get it done better. Like, he was always a good offensive rebounder. He was always a good cutter. He could always make threes. He was always a smart player. But I think when a guy is in the NBA over a stretch of time, they just learn the game. You know, they just know where they fit in. You know, they know where they can be successful and how they can impact the team, especially a smart player like him. So I noticed when he got to Milwaukee, you know, he found his space and, you know, he sticks to it. You know, he doesn't try to do anything outside of who he is, and he plays to his strengths. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And in Portland, I think he was trying to figure it out. And then he came here and, you know, was on a really good team and getting more minutes, and he figured it out. So I think that's the only difference, really, from now and then.
And I know you've stayed in contact with him. I understand he was telling you, Dame, you need to come here.
Yeah, I think he was playing it nice. You know, I was me, him, and Giannis was in a group chat, and I was telling him, like, man, you got to tell Giannis to come to Portland. And he was like, you know, and Giannis is telling me I need to come to Milwaukee. And it was just a little back and forth. And, you know, Pat was just kind of in the middle, you know. And then the day that I got traded, he texted me, and he was like, well, I guess we won on this side. And I was like, yeah, I guess y'all did.
Oh, goodness. Well, Dame, in your young career, you've also had quite a life off the court. Gained some real notoriety as a rap artist. Last I checked, you've released at least 4 albums over the years. Tell our listeners, Dame, how you became involved in the music business.
Well, I just put my 5th album out in August, and I mean, my family, everybody, a lot of my cousins, my family is just a music family. I was in the choir as a kid. All my cousins rapped when I was a kid, so I started, you know, messing around doing music. When I was in high school, me and my friends would record music, and we came out before our basketball games, and we would come out to warm up before games to our own music in high school. In college, we kept recording mixtapes and stuff like that, and then when I got to the league, I kept recording. You know, I was doing stuff on SoundCloud, started a platform on Instagram called 4 Bar Friday, and that pretty much took off. And then I started, you know, dropping singles, and it started picking up, and people was like, man, you got to do an album. So I put my first album out, and I think a lot of people in the music industry just respected how I approached it like any other aspiring artist. You know, I didn't just come drop an album and say, I'm Dame, you know, go listen to my music. You know, it was a whole journey for me in the music, you know, and I respected the game that way. So now, you know, it's been a long time coming. You know, people was like, man, stick to basketball, work on your game. You need to be in the gym. You know, it was a bunch of that stuff. And now people, when we on the road, more people acknowledge me as Dame Dollar than they do as anything else. You know, a lot of people just call me by my rap name. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Oh, very interesting. And, of course, you probably saw the Bucks had Flavo Flav do the national anthem here a couple of weeks ago. Any comment on his rendition of the national anthem?
I know that was a bucket list moment for Flav. You know, I know that was something that he wanted to do. So, you know, I think a lot of people made a joke out of it, but, you know, I guarantee you about 98% of them wouldn't take a chance to go out there and do it. So, you know, I didn't find much humor in it. I respected it, you know, because he's a rapper, but, you know, he has a heavy background as a musician, you know, doing more than just rapping. So I respected him going out there and doing it. You know, and I feel like a lot of the people that had a lot to say about it and jumped in on, you know, clowning it or whatever, there's a lot of, they wouldn't do that in the front of five people, let alone about 20,000. So,
you know, I guarantee you, I wouldn't try it. Well, Dame, back to the court. As you know, the NBA has introduced something new this year, the in-season tournament. Games played on Tuesdays and Fridays in November will determine, you know, which teams head for the final showdown in Vegas. And there's a lot of cash involved. What's your take on this new wrinkle?
I think it gives us something to get up for. And, you know, I said it, I think, last week. It provides the opportunity for us to, you know, look out for the people who aren't making max money or the people who are on a minimum contract or a two-way contract or, you know, some of our coaches who would get a share of it. It's an opportunity to do so. And it's a trip to Vegas. You know, we could do what we love to do, what we're going to have to do anyway, man. But, you know, have something else in our heart for the people that, you know, this could be a life-changing opportunity for.
Yeah, amen. Well, Dame, I can't thank you enough for sitting down with us. Really, really fun talking with you, and best of luck to you as the season progresses. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Our thanks to Gale Klappa and Damian Lillard for this week's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks conversation there. And Damian Lillard is not just Dame, but the entire team with a big moment that they have tomorrow going to Boston to take on the Celtics. 6:30 tip-off tomorrow. It is the first of three matchups between these two teams this season. And it's, as we said at the top of the show, it's a good litmus test for the Bucks to see, you know, again, not the finished product, but just how far along they are and how much different this group is. Because in years past, I think the issue or one of the big issues that the Bucks were running into was specifically against opponents like the Boston Celtics. And how you matched up there, it has become such a perimeter game. The Bucks had the arguably best perimeter defender in the league. But look, the object of the game is to still score more points than your opponent. Having a good individual defender and having a good team defense, elite team defense like the Bucks, that is going to help you in one regard, in limiting the amount of points that that opponent scores. But the Bucks' issue was scoring the basketball themselves. That's where they had problems. That's what Damian Lillard, I wouldn't say solves, but brings to the table and helps you solve. Now, I think it's no coincidence that really in the span of a week or so, we have seen Giannis play without Dame. We have seen Dame play without Giannis. And both of those kind of converged and led to Damian Lillard looking as good. Small sample, but as good as we've seen him in a Bucks uniform. When you think back to that Toronto game, I think was the best we've seen him. He's taken over games like the Knicks game. Like opening night against the Philadelphia 76ers, but that win in Toronto, that was the best we'd seen Damian Lillard. And Giannis, who's been on this 40-point tear, back-to-back 40-point games, the 54 that he had against the Pacers, you know, it's not a knock on either of the two players, but it does certainly feel as if they needed that. That Giannis just needed the, hey, this is how we used to do things, just go out there and dominate. There's no Dame. We're still figuring things out. We're going to get there, but in the interim, we need you to take over. And for Damian Lillard, it was, okay, there's no Giannis here, so play a little bit like that guy you were in Portland, but also, like, let's see how this is going to work with your new team. And I think that's what we saw at the start of this win streak that the Bucks have been on, and it's ultimately helped that chemistry and helped this entire group get to the point where they are now. Tomorrow in Boston, keep an eye on two names that were on the injury report for the Celtics recently here. Derek White has been out for personal reasons. I believe it was the birth of a child for Derek White. So I would assume he is going to be available for that game tomorrow night. Al Horford missed the game in Charlotte for rest purposes. So again, if he's resting last night, I would assume he is going to be available tomorrow night. For the Bucks, here's some good news. Marjon Beauchamp is probable. Damian Lillard is also listed on the injury report as probable with an oblique strain. Ty Washington, Lindell Wigginton, and Marquise Bolden all out. Those are your three two-way deals. And Jay Crowder, of course, out as well with that left adductor surgery. But Marjon Beauchamp is probable. So, again, we talk about perimeter game. The Celtics have a lot of very good perimeter defenders. And no Al Horford, no Derek White on the injury report for them. As of right now, it is just their G League and two-way contracts. But Damian Lillard is a guy that can score on the perimeter. He can attack the basket, as you heard in that conversation with Gale Klappa. He can score in the interior. So you get perimeter scoring from Dame. And so far this season, we have seen perimeter defense from the duo, the young duo of Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp. Now, we did not see Andre Jackson Jr. last night. But reading between the lines and listening to Adrian Griffin after the game, it sounded as though that was a, hey, even with these injuries, even with no Marjon, even with no Jay Crowder, there's only so many minutes we have. And AJ Green has played very well for us recently. I want to reward him. And I'm sure part of the thought was also, we're going to have to use Andre Jackson Jr. for a very perimeter-heavy Boston Celtics team. So let's reward AJ Green here with some playing time. And let's also rest up the young guy, Andre Jackson Jr., because I would assume you'll see him tomorrow. And with Marjon Beauchamp listed as probable, I would assume you'll see him. And those are both guys you're going to need with some big assignments out there with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White, right? A lot of perimeter guards or perimeter players out there for the Boston Celtics. We'll get you caught up on the scores around the league as it's a Tuesday. So you know what that means. It's in-season tournament night. So we'll update you on some of those scores in the other groups around the association, because I do not believe we have a group play game for Group B, which is the Bucks group, taking place tonight. So we'll update you on the rest of the groups and those scores after this on Bucks Weekly. Bucks don't stop here. Bucks in Boston tomorrow night to take on the Celtics. They have the Washington Wizards Friday night, day after Thanksgiving, in an in-season tournament game. That is their final in-season tournament game or group play game at Fiserv Forum. And then their final game in group play is, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days later in Miami against the Heat. That is a game, by the way, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, But that is a game that very may well decide who advances into the knockout rounds from the East Group B when the Bucks take on the Miami Heat on the 28th of November. So here's your look at the standings. There are no games being played in Group B tonight, which is the Bucks group, Eastern Conference Group B. In Group C, I believe you have one game, and you do. It is final. The Magic beat the Raptors 126-107. But in Group B, in the Eastern Conference, which is what we care about, you have the Bucks and the Heat both 2-0. Now, you only play four games, as we mentioned, so point differential is going to be important here. The Bucks' remaining games are Friday at home against the Wizards, next Tuesday in Miami against the Heat. For the Miami Heat, their remaining games are against the New York Knicks. That is Friday night as well. And then Tuesday at home against the Bucks. The game against the Knicks is on the road. So there's a very real scenario here that we end up with a three-way tie. If the Knicks beat the Heat, the Knicks would be 2-1. The Heat would be 2-1. Let's assume the Bucks beat the Wizards, as they well should. The Bucks would be 3-0. So we would be going into that final day of the group play stage with the Heat needing to beat the Bucks to force at least a tie between those two teams, potentially a three-way tie pending that result of the next game. Now, if that's the case, and the Heat enter at 2-1, the Bucks enter at 3-0, the Heat win the game, and it's just a two-way tie. Let's say the Knicks pick up another loss here. The Miami Heat would advance because of the head-to-head against the Bucks. If we have a three-way tie, though, point differential is the number one tiebreaker. And right now, the Bucks' point differential in their in-season tournament games is plus 36. The New York Knicks are second in the Bucks group at plus 16. So the Bucks are 20 points better than the Knicks. They're 23 points better than the Miami Heat. And look, you don't want to look past any opponents. But with the Washington Wizards as the game you have between now and then, I would frankly be surprised if the Bucks are not 3-0 and they don't have a point differential of at least 46, maybe even 50 or more. If that's the case, and it comes down to a three-way tie, you would need to lose to the Miami Heat by about 30 points for them to pass you and win this three-way tie for point differential. So that's another element of this in-season tournament that's going to make it all the more intriguing. We saw a little bit of that when the Bucks beat the Hornets on Friday, where we saw starters out there a little bit later. We saw that lead balloon for the Bucks, and Adrian Griffin said, I talked to Steve Clifford after the game, and I told him, look, it was for point differential in the in-season tournament. We weren't trying to run it up, but we didn't want to lose that lead that we had. The other scores from tonight, there is one very interesting game that is going down to the wire right now, and that one is between Group A in the Eastern Conference, the 76ers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have that one final score that I mentioned between the Raptors and the Orlando Magic, but the Philadelphia 76ers and Cleveland Cavaliers, this was a double-digit game at one point that the Cavs were leading. It's down to 5 points now with just about 4 minutes left in it, 101-96. The Cleveland Cavaliers are up in that. And look, the other reason why we point this out, and again, it's early, but if that score holds and Philadelphia drops to 10-4, the Bucks will move past Philadelphia for number two in the Eastern Conference. So tomorrow night at 6:30, when the Bucks go to Boston to take on the Celtics, we will have a matchup between technically 1-2 in the Eastern Conference, the 11-3 Celtics and the 10-4 Milwaukee Bucks. And that's your takeaway, is for all the doom and gloom 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, all the talk of everything that was wrong, there's still going to be some rocky patches, but here we sit with the Bucks at 10-4 and just a game back of the Boston Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference. Bucks and Celtics tomorrow night, as I mentioned, it's 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins with myself and Dave Kane. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you tomorrow night on Bucks Talk after the Bucks and the Celtics right here on WTMJ.